It's time to wake up, recover from last night's mess, and get your fix of sports caffeine. It's time to kickstart your day with the latest sports news and opinions. Get ready. Sports Caffeine is live in 3, 2, 1.
And welcome, everybody, to another episode of Sports Caffeine. I am one of your hosts, L. Bushman. Alongside me, of course, is Taylor James and Kaylee Chakosky of Beauty and the Cleats. And, well, over the weekend, the Jaguars won their opening game against the Indianapolis Colts. So I'm going to give Kaylee a minute to gloat and do whatever she wants. So Kaylee, starting now, you have 1 minute to gloat.
Thank you. Thank you. All of you owe me an apology. I'm accepting written and verbal apologies from every single person who ever said anything negative about Gardner Minshew, Minshew Magic, or Minshew Mania. So get those apologies in because there's a lot that are owed to me. I thought we played fantastic. I think it's just a story of a young team that wanted it more. You can shoot your shot, you can have 11 kids, but you can't beat the Jaguars. So, you know, I'm here for it. I'm excited to see what we do. Now we have to beat the Titans, and that's going to be tough. But I'm just saying, we're not missing Leonard Fournette. We're not, because James Robinson is better. So the Bucs can enjoy their third string running back because we've got someone better. We've got someone who actually gets past the yard, hurdles guys. Makes it into the end zone. So
you have 5 seconds. You got three, two, one.
I think I did on Sunday say that I was optimistic to see how Gardner Minshew evolved. And I actually thought he played about the same as he did last year, but he did have that magic. He made the plays when he had to. He made the throws and the runs when he had to get that extra first down and stuff like that. So good for him. I mean, it killed my survivor pool for the whole year, but I mean, I'm indifferent about the teams in general. I mean, both my Super Bowl picks lost last weekend, so there goes that as well. So I'm happy for you as well. I'm picking against you guys again this weekend, but
yes, we are all happy for you, Kaylee. So, of course, everybody that's joining in the Sports Caffeine Live on Tuesday nights for Taco Tuesday Sports Night, proudly sponsored by Manscaped.com. If you go to Manscaped.com and use our code SC2020, you can get 20% off and free shipping for your next order. And also, if you go to Dugout Mugs /Sports Caffeine, you can order a Dugout Mug, which I am displaying right here with our nice Sports Caffeine mug with my name on the back as well. We've got to plug those sponsors, and we want to thank Rafferty's for having us there on Sunday for our NFL pregame show. It went fantastic. Really great show with everybody there. It was a great time, and we'll be back probably this coming week. So we'll be there this Sunday. I just got to talk to Carl and everything. So we're all good to go, but we've got a great show to go into. Of course, we're gonna do our rendition of NFL weekly wrap up. We'll go over week one. We'll go into State Your Case. I do actually have a gavel this time, so we'll be doing State Your Case with an actual gavel. James, you can unmute your mic. Are you very quiet tonight? Why is this? Why are you quiet?
Licking my wounds a little bit today, but it's all right. It's football.
Are you still salty from Sunday?
Salty at all. As a matter of fact, I picked the Saints to win the game anyway. So
are you mad? I did so many expletives last night on Set the Sails and made a very probably canceled culture comment about Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. Is that what you're salty about? No,
I'm not.
Okay, all right.
I'm not salty at all. I'm just enjoying the gloating. Kaylee deserved it. I told her that last night. And look, Gardner Minshew played well. And the Jags, listen, the whole tank for Trevor conversation apparently didn't happen in that locker room. So they did everything they needed to win. Marlon Mack going out, I'm sure, had nothing to do with that. But, you know, that I'm telling you, that was a great victory for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Good for them.
All right, before we get into our first segment, we'll bring in Kristen. Welcome, Kristen, to the show. Right on time, actually. We were about to start our thoughts about week one of the NFL season. Somebody's fire alarm just went off. Okay, maybe not.
My text message is sorry.
Oh, my goodness. You got to change that.
Please silence yourself.
I'm turning the sound off on my computer. I'm sorry.
So let's get into it. Let's go into the teams that disappoint disappointed to everybody in the NFL week one. So much hype about a lot of teams because players switching teams. Give me your team that disappointed you the most. Taylor, I will start with you. Who really disappointed you?
I mean, honestly, I'm going to say it's Indianapolis. I mean, back to the Jaguars. I mean, obviously, I can go the Cowboys route as well, but I mean, they were picked to lose that game anyways over the simulations that were ran. So it's really the Colts because I picked them to win the Super Bowl. They went against a depleted team, that we thought was tanking in general. Phillip Rivers didn't look very good at all. He looked like one of the elder quarterbacks that we saw last week. We saw Brady struggle. We saw Breeze, even though he won, he had only 4 yards per air yardage, which was lowest in the whole league last week. So his arm strength is down as well. And the Colts, like I said, I thought their defense would hold in there, and it just showed how bad their secondary is and will be throughout the season. So, I mean, I'd hate to revise my Super Bowl picks already. I'm going to stick with them again. I mean,
it's only week one. Don't press the panic button yet.
I'm not. I'm still going to go with them. Hopefully they can change things. The running games look good until Marlon back. As soon as I saw him go down, remember I walked by you, I said, his Achilles went out. I knew it was out as soon as he caught the ball. You could tell.
I want to thank James Ludeman for doing a trade with me today. I traded away Nyheim Hines and Christian Kirk to get Mike Evans, who is now on my fantasy football team. So thank you, sir. I do appreciate that for the wealth. It was Christmas early today for my fantasy football team. Kaylee, you're going Colts? Sorry. Okay. Kaylee, which team really disappointed you in week one? I mean, obviously, it's not the Jags because they blew your expectations out of the water. So which one really kind of, you know, made you sad? Which one kind of, you know, made you tear up a little bit?
I would say the Cowboys made me sad. I'll say the Eagles surprised me because we knew they were bad. We didn't know they were that bad. And I think Carson Wentz, like, that was crazy. I mean, to blow a 17-point lead to Washington and to come out looking pretty strong for the most part with what they're working with and then to just fall apart in the second half, I mean, it was hilarious. I don't like Philadelphia, anything about the city or the team. So for me, it was great to watch, but I do see how it would be sad for their fans.
Kristen, are you going to be a homer and say the Browns or no?
I mean, they made me sad, but they didn't disappoint me because I knew they were going to lose. Like, I thought maybe we'd score more than 6 points. I mean, Cowboys, obviously, they did get hosed. That Michael Gallup, I think that should have been a catch. You know, Dak would have got me some more fantasy points. But I'm going to go with the Detroit Lions, blowing that game, letting Mitchell Trubisky throw 3 touchdown passes, looking like Aaron Rodgers out there in the fourth quarter. And I know anyone who bet that game as well lost probably a lot of money on that game. So, yeah, it's right there, the gambling and total control. You know, I just expected the Lions to be better. I know they were missing Galladay, Swift did get, but everyone was high on Matthew Stafford coming back and thinking, you know, they could compete. And the Bears defense sucked, and they still lost that game. So I'm going to take the Lions as the most disappointing team.
Can't we say AP? AP looking like what? Young AP. Oh, my goodness. So if you need a running back on fantasy, pick up AP until he gets a gust of wind.
You know, Saquon has a bad day. You know, a lot of people have bad days, and AP just lights it up. So good for him. Still got
James,
it.
James, besides the Buccaneers, who really made you sad or disappointed on Sunday?
I was a little disappointed with the Falcons. I know that, again, we picked them to be kind of one of the 3 teams in the NFC South that would really compete here. And they just defensively didn't look good. Now, again, I credit that a lot to Russell Wilson. I mean, he looked fantastic this week. Definitely, to me, one of the early front runners for the MVP. I mean, he was definitely just clicking on all cylinders. Carson was running very well yesterday. I love DK Metcalf. I think he's one of my favorite receivers outside of Tyler Lockett, who – Lockett didn't really get a whole lot going, but he was still in the game. But, man, it just looked at times like Dan Quinn is standing there going, what do I do? Like, and that's to me. I feel like the Falcons are that team that until they get a coach that's serious, it's like the Washington football team. You know, I would love to sit here and say that I was surprised by them, but defensively, if you look at them, they're stacked. And they also have a great coach in Mike McCarthy. Who, by the way, shout out to him, during halftime was getting IVs for his cancer treatment. So, I mean, that was crazy to me. So to me, I think the Falcons, just as much offense as they have on that team, including Todd Gurley, who wasn't awful but wasn't great either, still ended up scoring a touchdown in that game. I was a little surprised the game wasn't closer. But then again, I'm not really surprised because it's Russell Wilson. And again, he looks like he's in midseason form already.
Yeah, don't forget about the performance Calvin Ridley put up. Calvin Ridley for the Falcons did have a stellar day. So that was the one good.
And Julio did too. I mean, Julio Jones had a great day. He didn't score, but he had a great day. I mean, it's one of those Julio. Well, that's what I'm saying. Julio is that guy who'll get 300 yards receiving but won't score a touchdown. It just baffles me that this guy.
The way he started out last year was he was putting up all these yards and he didn't get a touchdown to what late in the season.
Week six or something. I mean, it was a while. Yeah,
it was real late.
Falcons did win the award for the best uniforms, though. Those uniforms.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
They were sick, and actually, their defense. That first quarter and a half, they were actually murdering Russell Wilson. They were rocking him. And then it just so happened that Carroll and the Seahawks made a lot of adjustments to that defense. And then I think they eventually gassed out and just started getting burned.
I think Pete Carroll is one of the most underrated coaches in the NFL. I mean, he's just every year he's just got this team playing at a Super Bowl level. And no matter what game it is, game one, game 10, I mean, he is seriously at a level. And Justin Atler with the great comment there, Matt Ryan threw for 480 yards, still lost the game yesterday. I mean, just that's really surprising, really disappointing if you're a Falcons fan too, and they were my pick.
Which Justin Atler is. He is a Falcons fan. He does work with me in my day job, so he is a huge Falcons fan. There so let's go on the other side of the ball. What team really blew your mind? Really a team that maybe came out of nowhere, defied all expectations for week one and just really knocked it out of the park. Who blew your mind? Kristen, I'll go with you first. Who really blew your mind in week one?
I mean, I don't know if I say mind-blowing because it's expected, but the New England Patriots. You know, the Dolphins were supposed to be a little bit tough. You know, it's Cam's first game. You know, Tom Brady's not there. A lot of their defenses opted out. So you don't know what you have in the Patriots. And Cam went out there and looked good. And they made the Dolphins look like the Dolphins. And I think that the Patriots were – I didn't know what to expect from them. And it looks like they're going to be another force to be reckoned with this year.
All right, Taylor.
I kind of disagree with that just because they don't have any weapons still, and Cam's not going to be able to run the ball 25 times a game. And it was really just their defense keeping him in it by turning the ball over with Fitzpatrick, and then they made a couple plays with Cam. But the one that surprised me the most was the Buffalo Bills, and the reason being was I expected them to win this game, but was more so just Josh Allen. It was just seeing Josh Allen progress into a better quarterback. He made better decisions. You could see that he was actually going through progressions on the field. And last year he was kind of running around with a chicken with his head cut off, and he wouldn't be able to make some throws. But yesterday or Sunday, he was actually, you could see that he progressed. And you could see that Sam Darnold, on the other hand, they're drafted the same year and Sam Darnold is regressing or not progressing at all. So it just so happened it was good to see the Buffalo Bills. They should have closed it out a little better, but I'm not going to give him fault for that. It was first game of the season. But mine was the Buffalo Bills for sure.
Haley, I'm sure your answer is going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars, but do you have another team that really blew your mind on week one?
Yeah, I would say the Bills as well. I think a 300-yard game for Josh Allen. If he stays at that level for the rest of the season, they're going to be very scary in the postseason. And I think that's really the challenge for them is keeping up that momentum all the way into the playoffs. But if they can do that, I think he's going to be – He looked fantastic. I think the Bengals are another one where they didn't win, but they looked better than expected, and Joe Burrow looked better than expected.
Okay. All right, so NFL Week 1, I loved it. I think how everything was handled with the whole pomp and circumstance, but how, you know, commentators were handling the anthem and whatnot. I wanted to ask all of you, how do you guys like how the teams handled the national anthem? I know we're kind of going into a serious, you know, road because we're usually a fun sports show, but do you like how the teams really handled how they did the national anthems by locking arms? Some teams kneeled, some teams waited in the locker rooms. How did you feel about them handling the national anthem, especially now in this climate?
I think that they should be able to do what they want. I think it's respectful. I don't really care if you're going to be on your knee and you're going to be quiet and you're still going to salute. I kind of feel like it's almost like the kindergarten thing. I was talking to someone at my work about this. When you tell a kindergartner, you know, don't do this, don't do this, they're going to do it. So if we keep making a big deal and keep talking about it, you know, if we just don't make a big deal about it, we don't talk about it, you know, nobody cares. Let's just get on with it. Last year, they stopped televising the anthem, I believe, is what the thing, what they did. They just didn't even show it on TV. So maybe this year they did the Black National Anthem, then they had the little kids, where I think it was simultaneous through every single stadium they did that anthem. And, you know, maybe show that, and then from then on, don't even show it. I mean, I don't don't know. I'm not being unpatriotic, but if it's going to cause so much controversy and stop people from watching, then, you know, just don't show it or let it's a free country. Do what you want. As long as you're respecting it by being on a knee and you have your fist up and that's, and your team is still showing solidarity with their hands on your shoulders, then go for it. You know,
what a great comment from Joshua Garrison. I love Manscaped. My junk looks like a baby's arm holding an apple. Great product. Well, thank you, Josh. We appreciate that. James, you know, you're more of the level-headed, serious guy on the show. You know, what were your thoughts about teams handling the national anthem?
You know, I think people are surprised to remember that not that long ago, every team was in the locker room during the national anthem. I think we forget that. And a lot of time, look, I go back to the whole Colin Kaepernick situation. Back then, you look at it, and I'm just going to tell you, back then, I judged it completely from the wrong perspective. You know, I looked at it as, well, I don't like this. And then, of course, the next week or the week after, Mike Evans does it. And then you just listen to all these people that are so angry that you do it, but then you remember the reason why they do it, and peaceful protest. That is the two key words that I think a lot of people are missing, is that, you know, you can do something, but do it peacefully. You don't have to destroy businesses. You don't have to destroy lives. You don't have to be violent, you know, and this is exactly what these players are doing. They're showing peaceful protest toward a social injustice issue that is ripping our country apart faster than COVID. And it's really unfortunate that it's happening this way. I wish there was some kind of happy medium, but I would rather them protest in this way than protest violently. And I would keep it this way. If they would like to protest, that's their option to do so. Let them do it. They're not disrespecting the flag by doing it. I think you're disrespecting the flag more when you destroy businesses that are trying to work hard in America and live this American dream that we talk about. So I have no problem with this. I think the NFL did it the right way. And for those morons who booed that, you're just that. You're a moron because you don't understand the point. And I think you need to have a conversation with someone about it.
Kaylee, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I love giving players the power to decide how to do it, right? And I think we saw that Thursday. And a lot of players have chosen to remove it from the flag and from the anthem. And I think that's where you start to see those people who are just complaining for a reason to complain, as opposed to trying to listen and understand. And so I did love pretty much everything that happened pregame for all the teams. And I love all the decisions that were made. And I feel like it unites players in a way that we haven't quite ever seen. And like James said, kickers used to be out warming up during the national anthem. I mean, not paying attention. I mean, that used to happen not very long ago. And I think people do forget that politics has never been separated from sport ever in history. So I think it is, they have a platform, and I think people, they should have the right to be that role model for kids in their communities, for people in their communities. And I think they've chosen to do it the right way.
Taylor?
Yep. I mean, they didn't even, not only that they used to warm up during the national anthem, they never even used to play the national anthem even before that. So it's just a matter of people making a big deal out of it. I don't even pay attention to it. Like I don't know who kneeled and who didn't kneel. And I'm like marking down people, marking down a line and stuff like that. People do whatever they want. As long as they're not hurting other people or affecting the people that I care about or anything like that, do whatever you want. You know, we're a free country. Just be happy. You know, let's all come together. Let's all hug each other. Let's all love each other. Let's all respect each other. And live happily ever after. I mean, it's not going to bother me.
You said the people, he got the serious people, on this.
Well, the people that do care are usually the people that have the issue with things, and they're the ones that are causing the uproar. They're the ones that are stirring the pot.
Trees of green roses too. I see them. Okay. All right, let's move
good
away.
Good morning, Vietnam.
There we go. Let's move away from the serious stuff. Zeke looked a little bit different this past weekend, and I think he's going to be nominated for Dumb Dumb of the Day with his stupid ass, really dumb tattoo. Guys, girls, thoughts on Zeke's tattoo? Did he lose a bet, or was this really legit? He's his feed me tattoo across his belly with his midriff showing. James, I want you to rip this to shreds. Zeke's tattoo, do you love it? Or do you leave it?
As somebody who has 21 tattoos on their body, but every single one of them has a meaning, this is so stupid.
Feed me.
I understand, like, maybe the point of this, and I saw the rundown, and I kind of wanted to I don't want to rip it to shreds because I'm trying to think of a reason why you would put this. And the only justification that I can put to it is that the ball goes right in that area when you accept the run. So maybe that's why. I mean, that's literally the only common sense knowledge I can get out of this. If he lost a bet, just come out and tell people that you lost a bet, because I'm telling you, this is I'd love to say this is the most embarrassing thing I've seen in the NFL, but it's kind of
I would have loved it if he had like Cookie Monster above it and then said feed me, because that would have been cool.
Real quick, let me clarify. Did you watch him in college? I don't know if you watched him at Ohio State, but that's like his thing, you know.
Yeah, it's
feed me. He always wore his midriff.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't he the cereal guy? Like he did the cereal challenge thing. Yeah. Was on him. Yeah, he did that.
That was his thing, like all through college. Yeah. He always wore his midriffs. And so that's like his line. It's like a wrestler, like if you know. Steve Austin got 316 tattooed on him. That's his thing, you know. So I mean, if that's his thing and he wears his midriffs and that's kind of his line, then go for it. You know, I got freaking hashtag bet tattooed on me, you know. So yeah, I mean, that's his thing. It's not just like it's literally his line that he kind of lives by.
Kaylee, would you date a man with a stomach tattoo that says feed me?
I love that tattoo. It makes him infinitely more attractive to me. I love everything about it. When I saw it, I loved it. I literally said, aw, as soon as he pulled it up.
So basically what you're saying tattoo. Is you want the face of Garner Minshew with the body of Ezekiel Elliott. Is that what you're telling me?
So, no. Fellas, if you're looking to date Kaylee, just put a tattoo on your stomach that says, feed me. Must have a mustache and also a mullet as well.
Of course.
I've seen so many athletes with so many dumb tattoos. Like there's – athletes like LeBron, who has the king on him. He self-proclaimed himself the king. There's Kobe, that is Black Mamba. He self-proclaimed himself Black Mamba. Like, giving yourself nicknames. I mean, stuff like that, I think, is dumber than this. Having the lip tattoo on your neck, like, that's stupid.
That's weird.
Super weird. So there's a lot dumber tattoos out there that I've definitely seen.
I mean, Taylor, this is your guy. I mean, this is your boy on the
double. You want to give him the ball. I thought we didn't do a very good job being too creative enough getting the ball Sunday night. So
he looked great though when he did have the ball.
I thought he looked good.
Yeah,
but like I said, we need to be more creative. It looked like our offense last year that hadn't progressed. So.
All right, let's move on to who will falter, who will flourish in week two. We're gonna do our respective teams: the Jags, the Falcons, Bucks, and the Browns. James, I'm gonna go with you first. Okay, I won't go with you. Kristen, I'm going to go with you first. Who will the Browns falter or flourish in week two?
Well, you know, Thursday night is usually a lucky night for us. We got our first win against the Jets after that 0-16 season on a Thursday night where they broke open those Bud Light coolers. So Thursday seemed to be lucky for us. And we are playing the Bengals. And, God, we cannot lose.
Oh, man. Bengals look all right.
And they were like, is this a must-win game for Cleveland? Like, I feel like this is a must-win game. And, you know, okay, so we played bad on Sunday, very, very bad. Also, we played against the team I picked to go to the Super Bowl. The Ravens are a very, very good team. So we played terrible against a really good team. So I think we may be able to right the ship a little bit against the Bengals. There are going to be fans there. So I can't tell you what they're going to do, but I really hope they flourish. But it's a wrap.
I actually am picking the Browns to lose that game, to be honest with you, because from watching Baker Mayfield, he's one of those quarterbacks that we were talking about. I hope he would change, but he looked exactly the freaking same as last year.
I mean, Case Keenum,
running around with a chicken leg head cut off.
Taylor, will the Cowboys falter or flourish in week two?
We're definitely winning against the Falcons. I mean, we just definitely are. We're playing at home. We're good. It's easy dub.
Okay.
For sure. Like I mentioned before, Chip liked the line over under 52. I could see it 34-17 us. I could see it 31-20. I could see it 28-17, something like that. But, you know, I think the line's probably good around 52. I think the 5.5 is good for us as well. So I think we will win, at least cover the spread of 5.5.
Okay. Kaylee, your team won, so you flourished in week one. Will they take a step back, or are they going to continue the winning ways with the Jacksonville Jaguars in week two?
Yeah. We're winning week two. I think I can't bet against them at this point. I think, like, momentum wise, we are definitely.
Who do you play?
They play the Titans.
Okay.
So I think as long as we can, like, neutralize Derrick Henry, and we've done it on and off, right? And I think that's kind of going to be the challenge. And the Broncos did a pretty good job of it. I mean, they lost, but he wasn't as Derrick Henry as he has been. So I think it is interesting that they're going to come off a very physical game with the Broncos. He's, you know, he wasn't looking great. And I think, you know, we have that momentum. So I'm hoping we flourish.
James, you and I are Bucs fans. Our team, you know, stumbled in week one. Are we going to falter or flourish in week two against the Panthers?
Interestingly, Taylor actually brought this up. And listen, I thought even though that the Panthers lost to the Raiders, I thought that they played okay. It wasn't like they had a terrible game. I just think, unfortunately, they were the victim of Josh Jacobs, who just was a beast on Sunday. Absolutely crazy.
Thank you, Mr. Jacobs, by the way. Thank you for my fantasy team.
There you go. The over-under on this is 48, because Taylor brought it up. I wanted to check. It's 48, which I think is doable. I would definitely take the over if I'm looking at it. Carolina's a favorite in this game, actually, surprisingly, by 7. So
what? Yeah, Carolina's a favorite?
Interesting. If I'm reading like this properly, if the spread is Carolina, the money line's Carolina, right? Is that how you see? This is why I need the
fan right now. The spread's at 9 and 10.
I see on FanDuel it's on.
Well, I'm on ESPN right now.
Oh, okay.
At 9 and the Carolina's an underdog right now.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then, I mean, even so. But that's
no wonder you've been losing all your money. You've probably been betting.
I don't bet money. That's why I'm not good at this, because I don't bet money. I'm a pastor.
Just stick with draft. Well, you're not obviously not good at fantasy either, by the way you drafted. But that's
I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Money line just means you're picking without the spread. FYI.
Okay. I'll talk about what I know about, and that's the over and under. So I'm going to take the over on this game. I think. Last week we played, it's kind of like Kristen. You know, Kristen said that they played a team that could easily be in the Super Bowl. The Bucs did too. The Saints could easily be a Super Bowl pick, even though I didn't pick them, but I still think that they could be a Super Bowl contender. So it's tough. But when you have a team like Carolina, it is a winnable game for the Bucs, in my opinion. I think that this isn't a must win, but I would say it's as close to a must win also as you can get. So I'm gonna take Tampa to flourish. Maybe.
You do not sound confident.
I'm not because I still don't think there's enough time. There's been enough time for this offense to, you know, kick it into the next gear. But
gel and dust are rust.
Last three times Tom Brady lost week one, he went to the Super Bowl.
So. That's true, and I hope that stat continues for the fourth time. That would be fantastic. But I'm also a realist, and I understand he's on a brand new team, new offense, and it's gonna take time to gel. And I just don't know if after seeing what I saw last week, if 2 weeks is gonna be enough. So if they start 0-2, I'm not gonna panic. If they start 0-4. I might start to panic a little bit then.
I think the best indication of what this last weekend really showed us is that the preseason is necessary, because there was a lot of rust.
I hated the preseason.
But it just goes to show that those two games that you have starters playing, they knock some rust off, they get some coercion. They get some simpatico going on, and you saw a lot of rust with a lot of teams.
OTAs, training camp, all that stuff, like that you sit here and go, man, this is taking forever. But every single bit of that is preparing every team to play at the next level. And I felt like and don't get me wrong, I'm glad the Jaguars did what they did. That's fantastic. But I think with this offense, with a little more preparation, I don't know if it would have been the same story if this was a normal season. I think COVID is the great equalizer for a lot of the teams that won yesterday.
Yeah, I think we can't really judge anything on week one. Week two, even fantasy-wise, which is also amazing with no preseason, how many rookies actually had touchdowns. We saw Dobbins with 2, DeAndre Swift had a touchdown. God, Jared Judy's footwork. Did you see that?
Oh, God,
amazing out there. So
yeah, dropped 2 passes too.
These rookies were actually kind of gelling, but I'm not taking week one. I'm taking with a grain of salt, and next week I'll see, you know, who is still good and who is still bad.
Yeah, it's going to be the week of adjustments for sure. We're going to see
Listen, who you got? Because I'm interested to hear what you – because you're a low expectations guy, which I need to be more like you on that. But, you know, I can't.
So I set my expectations low, man. That's why every single year when the Bucks disappoint me, it's like, I'll move on to baseball. So it's all good.
Let's move on.
I'll
move on. Who you got in this game?
Are they going to falter or flourish? Oh, they're going to flourish. They're going to be fun.
Okay, good.
They're going to be all right. Yeah,
I can see them winning that game. I can see them not. I can see being closer than 9 points.
The Saints defense is the toughest defense I think they'll play.
I would say with Carolina's defense, I'd say two scores. I think the Bucs win by two scores on that game. Okay. So, all right, I finally got my gavel. It is time for State Your Case. Let me knock it in. It is Law and Order. It is State Your Case. First question.
All rise.
Thank you. I'm actually gonna get a judge's costume with the full like old-timey hair and stuff like that too. So, state your case, guys. Is Washington really that good, or the Eagles that bad? State your case, Kaylee. I will go to you first. State your case.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think Philly is really bad, and I think Washington has aspects of their team that were overlooked prior to the season. So I would say their defense looked really incredible, but I think they also just wanted it more based on their halftime speech, based on kind of what their sentiment was in the locker room. It was a very like, why not us? Like, why can't we make this comeback? So I think that has a lot to do with it. And it's week one. Like we said, it's a weird season. I'm not going to say Washington's really good, but I'll say Philly is really bad.
Okay. Taylor?
And I'm going to say everything that happened in that game is something that I addressed on the show prior to the game, was that the D-line for Washington's good. The offensive line had some injuries for Philly, so therefore they got manhandled. Carson Wentz will suck a lot. He was the reason why they lost that game. The two picks he threw were into quarters coverage, and they were forced throws. And he was trying to win the game instead of let the game come to him, and he was trying to push and press. And he was the reason why they lost, and he's the reason why they're not going to be good and they're not going to make the playoffs. I mean, they're not even going to make the playoffs. So.
All right, Kristen?
I do agree. I agree. Carson Wentz is completely overrated. I wouldn't even be surprised if we do see some Jalen Hurts. If he's the leader in that locker room and he is playing like this, I don't think that Washington's that's good. I think the Eagles just thought they were going to go in there, and they just thought Washington sucks and we're just going to go in there. And I think they already thought they won it. And, you know, and at halftime, you know, there were 0 points. I didn't think Washington would score a point. I was making fun of Allen the whole time. And so I think, they haven't scored yet. And they weren't prepared. I do not think they were prepared to go in there and play a real football game against a real defense. And they thought this was going to be an easy game, a fluke, and they were going to be leading the division. And they got shown up by a Washington football team who's probably better than we all give them credit for. But I don't think by any means they're going to win a lot more games this season.
James?
I'm going to give you a number. 8. Okay. Eight is the number. Sacks. 8 sacks against. And listen, I know there were injuries on the offensive line, Taylor. That's a great point. But listen, I believe in Chase Young. I think this kid is going to be fantastic this year. I don't know if he'll win Rookie of the Year because it's kind of a deep rookie class this year. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to win that award hands down, but for the AFC, of course. But as far as Washington,
well, there's a defensive player.
There's defensive player of the year too. True. So, look, I don't know if Washington can sustain this for the whole year because Dwayne Haskins. I just don't really have faith in him. I mean, he really wasn't all that great yesterday. 178 yards. Didn't throw any picks, which I thought was great. But really, the defense is if they can build on this for next year, keep this defense intact, and really use the draft next year to build up this offense a little more, I think Washington could be really good. And, again, I'll go back to what I said earlier. Ron Rivera is a great head coach, and he knows what it takes to win in this league. He's done it before with Carolina. So I want to say I'm not shocked, but I really am. I think they were definitely the most surprising team yesterday, and they really exposed the Eagles big time, and I think that – a lot of people were wrong about them.
All right, moving on. State your case.
Division, right? There's only one on our team leading the NFC East right now.
That's true. All right, guys, state your case. Is Joe Burrow for real? State your case. James.
Yes, absolutely the real deal. I loved what I saw. I know the team didn't win, and again, they have some problems also on the other side of the ball. Their defense is something that needs to get changed. And worked on over the next year. I think offensively, they got the pieces to play, which I think is good. But, man, I love this kid. I love Joe Burrow. I'm not an LSU fan, but I really liked what I saw out of him in college last year. Of course, being in Alabama, you're kind of forced to watch the SEC a lot. So it's definitely something interesting. But, man, I really think it may not be this year, but I really think next year he's going to take that next step to being one of the most elite quarterbacks in the NFL.
Kaylee?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think this year is going to be a Cinderella story for them by any means, but he is the real deal. I mean, his team didn't help him out. AJ Green had a PI. for it would have been a touchdown, and then you have a missed field goal that would have taken you to overtime. So I think he could have easily pushed blame off, but instead he comes out and takes full blame for the loss. And I think that just shows mentally where he's at, even coming in as a rookie. So I do think that, you know, they're just going to get better with time. This just isn't their year, but next year is his year, probably, to be honest with you, if they can do the right things in the offseason.
Okay. Taylor, state your case.
Yeah, you could tell that, you know, their offensive line is bad. And so he's mobile enough to make some plays. But the thing I was most impressed with him.
All right, hold on a second. Who scored?
The Lightning scored. Sorry.
All right, so they tied up the game. It is 1-1.
Yeah, I'll mute it. Sorry, guys.
No,
sorry,
that's fine. Taylor. I love the background noise.
This is our house, guys.
Now, the Lightning have tied up the game in the second period. So it is 1-1.
I see that. I have it going too.
One away from the Stanley Cup Finals, by the way.
The thing that I was saying impressed me the most was his ball placement, really on his throws and on that last drive in particular as you drove them down the field. And like we said on that throw that AJ Green got that offensive PI, the ball placement on where he actually made that pass and made that throw, that's a tough throw. That's a very, very difficult throw, and he put it in the perfect spot. So I think he's only going to progress from there. He's going to be able to read defenses, go through his progressions as time goes on. But when it comes to actually ball placement and accuracy as a rookie quarterback, he's one of the best I've seen in a long, long time.
And Kristen, state your case for Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I agree with all of you guys. And also his preparation and his mentality. He's got that Patrick Holmes, I am a winner. I am going to do whatever it takes to win the game and put the team on my shoulders. And I'll take I'll accept the losses. I remember when Patrick Mahomes was hurt last year, and he was the first guy running out there, you know, after the team won the games and celebrating. And I just, you know, what was his quote? You know, I can't take a day off, because if I do, someone else is working that day and I'm that much further behind them. So his work ethic just put him, that's why he's so good. He worked all summer and learned everything he possibly could. And I think that's just going to elevate his game. You know, I don't think Baker Mayfield is the type of guy that sat there all summer and worked his ass off, you know, where Joe Burrow, you see this and you see that leadership mentality, which is just going to make everyone on his team around him better. It's unfortunate he is in Cincinnati, but they do have all those offensive pieces. Like you said, they can build in that draft. And like, I'm kind of scared of the Bengals on Thursday. And I haven't said I've been scared of the Bengals in years. So, yeah.
I don't think anybody's put scared and Bengals in the same sentence in 30 years, maybe since the 80s with Boomer Esiason, maybe.
I was at the thrift store today. My friend forced me to buy this bell, and it says "Ring for Touchdown." I'm wondering if we're ever going to be ringing this in the house.
So. All right, that has been another edition of State Your Case. They have stated their cases. All right, we're going to move on to baseball. Baseball has finalized where the bubbles are in place for the MLB playoffs. They will be in Houston and also in California, but you know, of course, there's a bunch of fires going on, so I don't know. We'll see how they're going to do that. But anyways, one of the stipulations for the playoffs is the Major League Baseball has said no beer showers, no alcohol of any kind for any post games celebrations in the locker rooms after the games are over. What a travesty COVID has made this season. We all look forward to the beer showers after the games. It's a huge celebration. I'm sure those guys are disappointed. Do you guys agree with this? Do you think them taking away the beer showers is just a travesty, or do you think it's actually being safe for this time? Taylor, I'll go with you first. What do you think about this?
What was their reasoning, guys?
They're just scared because of COVID and people getting infected and, you know, nobody, you know, all that stuff. That's pretty much it.
I don't get it. I could actually see that get broken, to be honest with you. I could see some people sneak in some beer, sneak in some soda, sneak in some whatever, and spray it around the locker room. I think it's ridiculous, obviously.
Kaylee, what are your thoughts on this? You know, you're a beer drinker. You're an alcohol drinker. If you were a player, would you want this to stand, or would you say, fuck that, I'm going to bring in a bottle of champagne and spray everywhere?
This is just, I mean, I would not want it to stand, but I do understand from the league perspective where at this point they've really screwed up COVID protocol. They've kind of been like the laughingstock of professional leagues when it comes to outbreaks and just not handling things the right way. So I do think this is a very performative move for them to say, you know, we don't want anything to screw up the postseason, and we're going to take every step so that it doesn't get turned around on, you know, the commissioner and the league. And I think it makes sense there on paper, but yeah, I mean, players are going to sneak them in. It depends how big the fine is, to be honest.
Actually, they haven't said anything about any fines yet. So as of right now, there's $0 for fines. So I agree with you. I think they'll probably bring in some booze and sneak it in. They might sneak it in a dugout mug just like this.
Bubble. Then nobody would have COVID. So
that's what I don't get.
So no beer showers. They don't want alcohol. Can I bring my Heineken 00?
Mm.
you know, like
St. Pauli girl. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a very.
So I need more information. And if it's a suspension, if they say you'll be suspended for the next round of the playoffs, then hell yeah, I'm not doing it. You know, but I, like, who's to say? Or if I bring some of that sparkling champagne or sparkling wine your mom used to give you on New Year's Eve, like, who's, you know, why not? It's not alcohol.
So as of right now, the Major League Baseball has forbid players from drinking alcohol during clubhouse celebrations in the regular season and postseason as a result of COVID-19 pandemic. Nothing yet about fines. So as of right now, there's like no fine. So you can do it and you're probably not going to get in trouble for it. James, what do you think? Do you think, you know, the stooge of the year, Rob Manfred, has actually done something right with this? Or do you think this is just another notch in his stooge belt when it comes to him being the commissioner of baseball?
All right, hear me out.
I'm going to hear you out, man.
No, hear me out. So get this. I'm going to give Major League Baseball players a little insight on what to do. Are you ready? You guys remember when we were kids, you used to go to McDonald's and, you know, you'd order a water. And it was before they'd, like, pre-fill it. And then you go to the soda and you put Sprite in it.
Yes.
That's what you should do. Just tell people that you have that you don't have champagne.
That you have water.
Some sort of clear drink, and then just, you know.
You can do that with White Claw, because White Claw is clear. See? So
that's all I'm saying. But no, this is just another example of what else can we do for 2020. I mean, it's what else can we take away that just baffles us on a day-to-day basis. I don't see – if you're separating – okay, so if you're celebrating, each person is literally drinking their own thing. I guess where it kind of gets a little bit – south is when they start pouring it on others. And I think that that's probably maybe their mindset. Again, for some reason, I'm trying to just justify things for people like tattoos and all.
Definitely. This. We should try and get Trisha Whitaker here on the show. Good friend of the show, Trisha Whitaker, who's the Rays reporter, because she was basically doused with beer after the postgame celebration. So we should maybe ask her what her thoughts about this.
So are they going to do soda then? I mean, like,
they're saying nothing as of right now. Nothing is going to be in the clubhouse.
So you just walk in there and sit down.
You can use harsh language to maybe celebrate and
yell. Yeah, I'm excited.
But I've seen him when even without the beer and stuff with water bottles, start taking those and spraying them around. I mean, it's a liquid that's going somewhere.
People, you want to hide under your bed, just go ahead and do it. Just hide under your bed.
They're in a bubble anyways.
Yeah, they're in a bubble. Just hide under your bed.
All right, before we wrap up the show, we've got one final segment. It's called Pretender or Contender. These following teams are pretty much in the running for the playoffs for Major League Baseball. I'm going to throw out the team, and we'll do a lightning round of Pretender or Contender after I can spell Pretender, which I have dyslexia right now. I can't spell Pretender right now. Pretender or Contender, the Tampa Bay Rays, Contender or Pretender?
Contender, absolutely.
Lightning round, let's go.
Contender,
unfortunately.
I'll say contender as well if the pitching starts to come around.
All right. Kaylee?
Contender.
All right. The Los Angeles Dodgers, pretender or contender?
Contender.
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 Contender?
Ooh.
Question mark?
Okay.
I'm not 100%. I'm about 50-50 on that, but I'll go contender for that.
Okay, the San Diego Padres, pretender or contender?
I can't.
Contender.
I have not seen one Padre play this year.
They are a red hot team right now. So they're
contender for me. I have two contenders in the National League. It's Dodgers and Padres.
I'm going to say contender just because of their like trade deadline moves were very impressive. So, I mean, they've set themselves up pretty nicely.
All right.
I'll say contender as well.
All right. The Chicago Cubs, pretender or contender?
Pretender.
Yeah. Pretender. I don't see them doing much after that. They haven't won one World Series and they haven't pulled it together since.
Okay. The Chicago White Sox. The White Sox made a bunch of moves in the offseason. They look great. The Chicago White Sox, pretender or contender?
Contender
for me.
Contender.
All right. This will be probably an easy one to do. The Toronto Blue Jays, contender or pretender?
Contender.
Pretender.
I'm actually going to – I can't believe this. I'm going to agree with Taylor.
I got three contenders in the AL. I got Rays, White Sox, and Jays.
Listen, the Blue Jays don't don't sleep on them though with the long ball too. I mean, they got some hitters. Biggio, I mean, is one of them. I love him. I don't know. I
can't just believe you guys are actually like agreeing on something. This is like monumental right now.
We do from time to time. Fire. He just doesn't like my buck steaks.
This is like when the war was over and the two sides came together and shook hands. This is like if whatever analogy I'm trying to think of when it comes to two sides coming together. Okay, all right. I like those picks except for the Blue Jays. What's up?
Average Joe's gym. And,
there you go. All right, before we close out the show, our picks are in. Week one, we have a tie for last place. James and Nick are in last place. Taylor and I are tied for first place after week one. Now we do have second place, you know, three-way tie.
The standings.
Yes, ma'am.
The pictures.
My God.
I'm like this.
Ridiculous.
The worst picture ever.
That would be Nyssa. So you can take it up with Nyssa.
You look cute. Sorry, Nyssa. I don't mean to. But I was
okay. We'll send better pictures.
Okay.
Maybe she'll take better ones this weekend or something.
She's not photogenic, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, I know I'm not. So it's definitely not her fault. It's my fault. It's my face. I know what I'm doing.
She said all my pictures from Sunday were like meme worthy. So I was like, oh gosh, here we go.
I was like, and everything. So
she said, you look like you have boogers in your nose.
They scored again, apparently.
Obviously, the Tampa Bay Lightning have scored yet again. So it's now 2-1 against the Islanders. All right, there we go. We got some commentary from James's wife. So, you know, we are all here. Nick is not here, but we all need to come up with a punishment for Nick and James because you guys came in last place. So I think what we need to do is nominate a couple things. We'll put them on Twitter to see, you know, well, they'll get voted on by the fans, and then we'll do that punishment. I nominate Nick has to shave his beard off.
Ooh.
That's aggressive for week one.
I was going to say
for week one, geez.
It'll grow back in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's fair.
All right, so I nominate that. Taylor, what do you got?
I say he has to put on some kind of like skimpy outfit and do the Dirty Bird dance.
Okay.
Is what I think he needs to do.
Wow. Kaylee, what do you think Nick should do as a punishment?
Oh my gosh. I actually like the hot wings recommendation, but I feel like it should be double sauce and you don't get water.
Oh. Jeez. Okay. I like that. Kristen, what do you think?
I would say we have to do a shot of Carl's Choice. Those nasty, nasty shots. I think at the draft he was giving like gin and Jaeger mix shots. And
oh my god,
that's in that mixer last year. I say a shot of Carl's Choice.
Like the concrete shot that Chip had to do last year. Okay.
All right, I'll tell you what I'll do.
First nominate something for Nick, and then you can nominate
whatever
you
want. So for Nick,
I already have mine for James as well.
Oh god. I don't even want to know. I actually have one to nominate for myself, and I'm cool with it. Man. All right. I'll tell boy, this is a tough one. Because I was going to go with the hot wings, too. I think that's a great idea. So, yeah, that'll be my vote.
You can make him eat something else gross or something like that.
What's that?
You can have him eat something else gross.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, all right. I got one. All right, he has to eat Vienna sausages and drink the juice.
Yes,
drink the
That's
juice.
Terrible.
Or at least take like a couple good sips.
That's good. There it that's is. Terrible.
Okay, what are you gonna do, James?
Can we go through ours? Go through what you got first, and then I'll give you what I think.
Here's what I thought. So he needs to wear a Drew Brees jersey.
Oh, please,
And then he has to do a video of him going, who did I say going to beat them Saints? Not the Bucks. And then post that on Twitter.
I can tell you that ain't happening. Go ahead, Kaylee.
I think you should have to wear a Ezekiel Elliott crop top and draw on the TV tattoo on your stomach.
I love that one.
I could use the Manscaped thing and put it in my chest hair. Go ahead, Kristen.
I was going to say you have to wear a shirt with Taylor's face that says, I love Taylor Meville.
Oh. I like them all.
I like them all, too. Can you just do them all?
We're going to lose more than 1 week, so we got lots of time.
I was going to do this, and I was actually going to bring this up, because not only did I lose in that, I lost in fantasy, and then, of course, I had to sit here and listen to Kaylee go off about the Jaguars yesterday. So here's what I will do in honor of that.
Okay.
I will shave my beard off and leave the stash.
Just the stash.
And I will go stash for the next week. And I'll do the video tonight and do it tonight. And I'll stash
it. What am I going to say? What the hell happened to you?
I've done this before years ago. And my wife's like, dude, you look like the guy that drives the white van. Like, you need to just never do this again. So there you go. If you really want to inflict punishment, not just on me, but my family as a whole, that's a good idea.
I like that. I think we've all come to an agreement that that should be your punishment. I like that.
The Gardner Minshew.
Next week, you can do mine.
Okay. Yeah. All right, well, guys, girls, this has been a great episode of Sports Caffeine. We will be back on Sunday morning for the NFL pregame show. Make sure to tune in to Beauty in the Cleats tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Periscope as well. Kristen, you're doing your fantasy show on Thursday. Yes? No?
Start. I'm going to say it was Friday because we have Thursday night football now. So I think I'm going to start doing Start on Friday.
And you guys play Thursday.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Kristen, I need your help, please. Please help me.
Hey, don't freak out after a week one loss, guys. A lot of the studs did bad.
Oh, my team's horrible. That's what you know now.
I mean, I'm stupid. So.
Kristen, his team is that bad. It's
not that bad. It's really not. There's players. But
he was a Tampa Bay Buccaneers homer. He drafted
I drafted Tom Brady and
Mike Evans and O.J. Howard.
Mike Evans is no longer on this team. So there you go.
I did say, so my lead with Craig, I was losing. The Giants scored a touchdown. Pittsburgh defense loses like 3 points, and I win by one. So,
there you go.
I lost by a tenth of a point.
Wow, that hurts.
I won in all my leagues.
Oh, wow.
It could have been worse.
Straight domination for all my teams. That's right. Well, what?
Listen to Pitt. The pick is in every week, and now you're winning all your leagues. See?
Yeah, that's true. I get all my good information from you. Anyways, we will see you guys on Sunday morning. Of course, you can stream us live on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and FanStreamSports.com. Make sure to do and watch the replay on Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live and Periscope as well. For myself, L. Bushman, Taylor, Kaylee, Kristen, and James, we will see you guys next week. This has been another edition of Sports Caffeine, and we're out.
Thanks, guys,
for listening to another episode of Sports Caffeine, available for streaming on FanStreamSports.com. And FanStream Sports, the app.